Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Over in Mark 12:30, he said, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." You love them with all of you. And that is Christianity. Christianity isn't some legalistic thing where we're trying to be religious and thus pleasing God through our religiosity, through our religious works. No, thank God, we're already accepted by God through our faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for us, through His works, through His work of redemption, His work of salvation. We are accepted through faith in Him, so we don't have to keep trying to do things to be accepted by God. We already are, through faith in Jesus. We're already accepted. And now, Christianity is all about loving God, loving the God who loved us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, as we see how much He has loved us, we now love Him. He loved us with His life. He loved us with all His heart, all His soul, all His mind, all His strength. And as we see how much He has loved us, we love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Now, this isn't just a little supplement thing. Being a Christian isn't just some kind of little supplement to your life. It is your life. God is your life. Jesus is your Lord. He's the leader and the ruler of your life. He's the one directing you. He's the one we're living for now. He is our passion. We love Him. Love Him with our whole being. And that's what causes Christianity to work. It won't work any other way. It won't work any other way. If we just like Him, I like Jesus, that isn't enough. We can't be loving the world and the things of the world and then liking the Lord. You know, we love our life in this world, and we like how the Lord enhances the life that we love. I think that's where a lot of Christians in general are at, that they love the world and they love or like how much God enhances their life in this world. And so that's why they go to church. It's a great life enhancer. They'll read their Bible and go to a Bible study and even have a little Bible group that they minister to. And it's a great life enhancer. But God is not to be a life enhancer. That is false Christianity. That is not genuine Christianity. Genuine Christianity is a love affair with the Almighty. It's loving Him with all that we are and all that we have. And as we do love Him that way, it sets us free from a love for this world. The Bible tells us over in 1 John that we are not to love the world. Why don't we turn there? 1 John chapter 2. Notice the contrast here with Mark 12:30, where Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." To this right here, 1 John chapter 2, in verse 15, he says, "Do not love the world. Do not love the world. You shall love the Lord. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." So again, you can't split it up. You can't love the Lord and love the world. He says, no, if you love the world, then the love of the Father is not in you. But the good news is that when you love the Lord, when you love God with all your heart, then guess what? The love for the world is not in you. There's no room for it because you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So the love for anything else can't get in there. So there's no room for idolatry. Jesus said over in Luke chapter 16, in verse 13, he says, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But notice, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other, or you're going to love the other and hate the one. It's one or the other. It can't be I love the Lord and I love the world. You love him with all your heart, there's no room for anything else. When you love the world, there's no room for God. Because he doesn't work as a supplement to our life. He can't just be a little something that we add to our life. You got to be all in when it comes to Jesus, when it comes to God. You got to be all in. And when you're all in, that's when you'll be able to live a life free of sin. In other words, the world will not dominate you. The things of this world will not be able to control you, because that's really what sin is. It's coming under the control of the things of this world. But when you're all in, then you will resist easily sin. Sin will not be able to dominate your life, and that's the kind of life God has called us and commanded us to live a life free of sin. Living far above sin. Not living for the flesh, but living in the Spirit. Living for God. Again, there's a Christianity out there that says, well, sinners aren't perfect and we're always going to sin and it's just who we are, it's what we do. But that's not God's word. That's not Christianity. Christianity is, well, I've got to love the world. I've got to live for sin. I mean, I've got to do it. I'm only human. No, that's a false Christianity. No, you shall be all in for the Lord. And thus, there is no room for sin when you're all in. And that's how you overcome. Because he said, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You will not be controlled by the dictates of the flesh. The things of this world will not be overwhelming to you because you are overwhelmed already with God. That's why he said, don't be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't be drunk with the substances of this world, but be filled with the Spirit of God, or be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Be overcome with him. Because that's what the word drunk or intoxicated means. It means to be overcome by something. So we're supposed to live overcome. Overcome. Overwhelmed. We're overcome with God. We're overcome with his love. He wants to overcome you this morning. How many people believe you'll be overcome by him when you see him? When you stand before him, how many people are going to just, they're going to get to heaven, look up, there's God. And they're going to go, cool. Well, what else we got going on around here? How many people are going to do that when they get to heaven? How many people are going to be overwhelmed when they see him? How many people know that when you stand before him and you see him as he is in all his glory, when you stand there, and you see him, you're going to be overwhelmed by him. And Satan, if Satan walked up to you, there's nothing he could tempt you with. Huh? Is there anything the devil's going to be able to tempt you with at that point when you see the Most High God in all his glory? No. You're not even going to listen to the devil. The devil's going to be tapping you on the shoulder. Hey, I got something over here. Well, guess what? Bible tells us over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8. Whom having not seen, you love. Well, how do you love him? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We had about 45% participation on that. So we'll try that again. How are you to love him? That's exactly right. So he says, whom having not seen, you love. So you love him with this love, and we haven't even seen him yet. Because we're loving him by faith. We're loving him by faith. Having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That is an overwhelming joy. And you don't see him yet. See? Because why? Because we believe that he is. We know that we are going to stand before him someday. And we know time is passing very quickly in this life. This life is but a vapor. And before you know it, we're all going to see him. Do you think about that much? You need to be thinking about that much. The Bible says that those who have this hope in him purify themselves. They clean their house up really good because they know they're about to have company. They're about to stand in the presence of Almighty God and see him face to face and give an account for their life in this world. We know that day is coming. That's something we need to be thinking about. We ought to be excited about it. You're online right now. If you got born again, if you made Jesus the Lord of your life, you are online right now. Just like if you went to Kentucky Kingdom, except we're talking about the kingdom of God. But if you went to Kentucky Kingdom and you decided you were going to go on this roller coaster ride, you'd go and purchase yourself a ticket, right? Purchase yourself a ticket, and then you would get online, and sometimes those lines are crazy, and it's 90 degrees out, and people are sweating, and they're just standing there waiting on these long, long lines to just have this thrill that lasts for a minute, couple minutes, 3 minutes maybe, right? But they'll wait, they pay for it, and they'll stand there online, and they'll stand, and they just stand there online, and they just hear what's coming. Oh, they just get more and more excited about it. And they'll wait, and they'll sweat, and they'll wait, and they'll sweat, and wait, and sweat. Finally, they get on the thing. And here they go. It's their time. Fred, you're online. The line's moving. Before you know it, we're all going to be at your funeral. Whether viewing it from heaven or earth. But we're all online. And you're going to die. You're going to leave this world. You're not going to be here forever. And suddenly, the thing you've been waiting for, the ticket that you got. Do you have your ticket in your heart? It's your faith in Jesus Christ. You got faith in your heart. You got a ticket. Glory be to God. You're online, and suddenly, whoo, it's going to be your turn. It's going to be your turn. You're going to step up, praise God. And there you go. Into the dark cloud, man. Into the presence of God. I mean, this is what we're getting ready for. This is what's coming. So we're preparing ourselves for that. We need to be thinking about that. And that's going to affect how we live our lives right now. But not only that, he's here right now with us. We have had our eyes open spiritually to the reality that God is. He is. He is here. He is with me. He surrounds me with his glory. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. God is with me. And so we should be cultivating that reality all the time. And as we do, what's it doing? It's exciting us. It's stirring us up. Stirring ourselves up in Him. Again, we don't want to get into familiarity with the Word, with the presence of God, with who we are as Christians, what we have, this hope that we have in Him. We don't want to get over in familiarity where we're just dull and, Pastor, I heard you tell that story before about the roller coaster. I heard that. Folks just sit down and they do, That's right. That's not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's a dangerous place to be. Because if you're not loving Him with all you have, then you're loving something else. There's room to love other things. And if you love other things, then the love of the Father is not in you. We can allow the love of the Father to dry up on the inside of us. But we need to be constantly being filled up with the love of the Father. We need to be ye being filled with the Spirit of God so that we are intoxicated, overcome with Him, so that we rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's what needs to be getting stirred up in us all the time. Love needs to be stirred up. You need to feed that love. You need to talk of that love. In fact, that's what he says in Ephesians. In order to be filled with the Spirit, he says it's by speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, thanking him, always giving him thanks. See, using your mouth to give God thanks, to give him praise, to brag on him. Brag on what he's done for you. Brag on who he is and how awesome he is. And as you do, your love grows. Your love grows. And as it grows and overflows, man, there's no room for anything else to come in and rob you of this great salvation that you have in Jesus Christ. There's no room for falling into sin. Because falling into sin is nothing more than falling in love with something sinful. That's all falling sin is. Falling into sin is falling into love with something sinful. But if you're already in love with the Most High, if you're already in love with the Most High, then you're not going to fall in love with something else. Because you're already infatuated and intoxicated with Him. The root of the sin problem is a love affair with what is sinful. That's the root of the sin problem. It's loving other things. And as we talked about, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love suffers long. Love will suffer long even for negative things. It will suffer, it will endure, it will bear long with problems and issues over the thing that it loves. It will forsake all to get the thing that it loves. But that needs to be our attitude towards the Lord and not towards anything else in this world. An addiction is nothing more than a strong affection for something. It's an affection for something. When love endures long for the flesh, it is called addiction. When love endures long for the Lord, it's called discipleship. Notice he said here in Luke 14, in verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now that's pretty radical. How many people think that's pretty intense? He's saying, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. See, again, Christianity does not work unless we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. And he said, you can't have two masters. You either love the one and hate the other. You can't love them both. You love the one, you hate the other. He's saying here, you love your God so much, the Lord your God so much, that you hate your mother, your father, your wife, your children. Your love for him is greater than all, so that it would seem as though you hate people because you so love the Lord. You say, what do you mean? Well, if people want to take you in a direction that's contrary to the Lord, what are you going to choose? The Lord or these people? Well, I love these people. We love each other, and they're important to me. Well, who do you love more? Who do you love with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? It's God. And then, as we love him, his love overflows out of us towards people. Now, our love for others is a result of our love for him. But it's not a love in place of him. And a lot of times people choose people and other things and the things of this world in place of God's plan and purpose for their life. And the truth of the matter is, you will really begin to enjoy the world and the things of the world when you cease loving it. As long as you love the world, you can't fully enjoy the world. Did you get that? As long as you love the world, as long as you love other people in place of the Lord, then you will never be able to fully enjoy those relationships. It's why a lot of marriages don't work. It's why a lot of families are dysfunctional. It's because they're trying to love one another without loving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, so that his love then overflows out of them towards others. You'll be able to enjoy your family when you're not living for your family. You'll be able to enjoy the things of the world when you're not living for the things of the world. As long as you got to have it, and it's your passion, it's the source of your love and desire, then you will never be satisfied with it. You'll never fully enjoy it. God wants you to enjoy the world and the things of the world. He wants you to enjoy it, but he doesn't want you loving it. He wants you loving him. But we can start getting into things so much, you can really enjoy something so much, that next thing you know, you love it. And you would take it over the Lord. And people do it all the time. They choose the things of the world over the Lord's will for their life constantly, all the time. Christians do it. So we have to guard ourselves from that. Say, no, I love the Lord. Number one, he's the creator of all things. You need to be able to look at the creation and give God all the glory and all the praise for all the things that he has created, lifting him up and esteeming him above it all. And when you do, then you can enjoy it. That's why he says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and in verse 10, he says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with silver. Nor he who loves abundance with increase. This also is vanity. It's worthless. It's worthless. He who loves silver will not be satisfied with it. You will not be satisfied with money and things if you live for those things. If that's what you're working for, you're working for money, you're working for this, we're working to get a better house, and it can even be a religious thing. Well, we're working to you know, for our ministry. We're working for other people, to help other people. That's great. But that, if that's your passion, if that's your love, then you will never really be able to fully enjoy it like you're supposed to. For the love of money, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, the love of money is a root to all kinds of evil. Again, if you love money or you love anything over the Lord, it's a root to every kind of evil thing. Why? Because it's taking you away from Him. And He's the source of every good thing. God's the source of every good thing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Thank God we don't have to be slaves to sin, controlled by the things of this world, but we can be led by the Spirit of God, following our hearts, hearts full of the love of God. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, it puts you in control in life. But when you lift the world up above, when you lift the world up above the Lord, it brings you into bondage. It brings you into bondage. So we have to continuously stir up our affection and our love for the Lord and not allow ourselves to become slaves to sin. Remember, Jesus said in John's gospel, He said, he who commits sin is a slave to sin. A slave to sin. That don't sound like fun, does it? No. In fact, go to Romans chapter 6. Let's look at something here. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Woo, that's good news, isn't it? Hallelujah. Now, you listen to a lot of teaching out there in Christendom, you'd never know that that scripture was in the Bible. Because people think, no, sin will always have dominion over us as long as we're in this world. Sin will always have dominion over us. Well, no, see, again, that's not Christianity. If sin is dominating you, then Jesus is not your Lord. Sin is. The world is. Jesus is to be our Lord. That's Christianity. And when Jesus is our Lord, glory be to God, sin will not have dominion over us. Sin will not have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? So he's talking about what you submit yourself to. In other words, being a slave is a choice. Being a slave is a choice. You can be a slave to sin, or you can be a slave to the Lord. You could be a slave to righteousness. Isn't that what he says here? Look at it in verse 16 again. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience to righteousness? You can be a slave of righteousness. Do I have any slaves of righteousness in here? It's like you can't help but do the right thing. You're a slave to it. It's like you have to do it God's way. You can't do it any other way. You're obsessed. You're committed. You're controlled. You're overwhelmed. You're overcome. You're dominated by righteousness. You're dominated by the kingdom of God, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You're a slave. I'm a slave to Jesus. But it's good. Because being a slave of Jesus, praise God, brings liberty. It brings freedom. Sounds like a contradiction. But he's a good slave owner. He's a good master. He doesn't beat his slaves. He blesses his slaves. Make yourself a slave of the Lord, man, and you get blessings. Whoops, another blessing. Whoosh, another blessing. Hallelujah. Even when you make a mistake, because you're living for him and not for the mistake, you tripped and fall. He'll turn the mistake into a blessing. He'll turn even the wrong things around for your good and for his glory. So the whippings that you get for missing it are blessings. Hallelujah. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to be the Lord's slave. Verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, notice it's past tense, you were slaves of sin. Everybody say, were slaves. That means you're not anymore. You're not a slave anymore to sin. Though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Glory to God, sin isn't my slave owner anymore. I don't belong to sin. I'm not sin's property anymore. Therefore, sin and Satan can't have me. I belong to the Lord now. I've been set free from sin. Why don't you say that? Say it again. Well, I just missed it. Well, rise up and speak to it. Don't just succumb to it. Speak to it. Say, no, I've been set free from sin. You know, you repent and then you declare, I've been set free from that. That's not who I am. That's not what I do. Sin does not have dominion over me. And again, any failure to walk in righteousness, any sin that you might have found yourself yield to, fall into, is the result of you falling in love with something else. Something else got your affections. It's a love thing. It's not a works thing. It's not a law thing. It's a love thing. So instead of trying to fix it through obedience to the law, why don't you just go ahead and fix it by loving the Lord? That's how you think. Oh, Lord, I repent for that. Forgive me for that. Oh, you're so much better than that, Jesus. You're so much greater than that, God. You're so wonderful. You're so holy. You're so awesome. There's nothing better than you, Jesus. Oh, I want to follow you, God. You're so awesome. Thank you for all you've done. You've carried me so far, Lord. Oh, I thank you for all you've done for me. Stir up your love for him. Don't just try to turn around now and try to get it right through the law. Get it right through stirring up your love for the Lord. And recognize, I belong to you, God. I'm your prize. Now, Satan, you don't have me. I belong to Jesus. I belong to God. I'm God's property. Verse 19, I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness, and of lawless. And notice, you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. See, again, it grows. Just like love grows, lawlessness grows. Unclean things grow. You keep feeding it, it keeps growing. You get into more unclean things. It gets more dirty, it gets more filthy, it becomes more unrighteous, more lawless, more crazy. That's how the flesh works. It's just what you're feeding. Feed the love. Feed the love. I'm trying to be a better person. Stop trying. Start loving the Lord your God by thinking on how much he has loved you and does love you. Focus on love. Stir up that love of God. And watch things turn around for you. Watch things change. But again, you keep feeding the lawlessness, keep feeding the uncleanness. What's that? It's going to keep growing. I'm just a slave to it. I can't do anything about it. Oh, you can do something about it. You're presenting yourself to that. Stop presenting yourself to that. Present yourself to someone else. You know, it's like the world. The world says mothers against drunk driving. Is that what it is? Mothers against drunk driving. Thank God for mothers. Mothers against drunk driving. Don't drink and drive. Don't do drugs. Stop it. Don't do drugs. That's all the world could tell you is don't do it. Don't do it. Stop it. Don't do it. That's the law. It's legalism. God doesn't just say, don't do it. God says, "Dude, I got something else better for you. Do me. Do my spirit. Do the Holy Ghost. Do the Holy Ghost. Be overcome with him. Be filled with him." It's verse 20. "For when you were slaves of sin," "you were free in regard to righteousness." It didn't much bother you about Jesus. You didn't think about grieving the heart of God and the Spirit of God. You know, if you can get away with it, as long as people didn't catch you, you did it. Right? You're free. You weren't conscious of God. You didn't have a God consciousness about you. You were free in regards to that. Verse 21, "What fruit did you have then in the things of which you're now ashamed?" How many people are ashamed of the sins of the past? Those aren't things that we look back on and we are excited about. We don't look back and go, "Those were the great days." If you do look back on those sinful days and say they were great days, then you're not saved. You need to get saved. You need to give your life to the Lord. You need to realize, no, all those things lead to death and sorrow, pain. Verse 22, "But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life." See, by making ourselves free, making ourselves slaves of God, we are free. We are free from sin. Free from all the uncleanness of this world. Who are we going to present ourselves to? Who you want to present yourself to? I want to present myself to the Lord. Can you say amen? The word slave there in the Greek means one who gives himself up to another's will, devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. We just give ourselves up. People give themselves. We're all giving ourselves up to something sometime, all the time. We're always giving ourselves up to something all the time. What are we giving ourselves up to? One who gives himself up to another's will, devoted to another to the disregard of one's own interests. You know, there's a lot of sins out there that are against your own interests. They just lead to death. They destroy your life. But yet people still pursue it. They still make themselves a disciple of it. They still pursue it. But now it's time for us to recognize, no, we're ashamed of that old life. That was foolishness. Now, thank God, Jesus is our master. God, he is the one we love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We present ourselves to him. And when you present yourself to him and become his slave, you are free from sin, and Satan has no dominion over your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet if you've been set free.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-542. 2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.